Our country and the world around us has watched horror and trepidation the past few weeks with the events and tragedies we see coming out of the country of Afghanistan. Our own military in harm's way, our own people, perhaps not certain if they can get out or if they will be shut in, and knowing what has been happening and will perhaps come to even all the people of Afghanistan fill our hearts with worry, fear, and distress. What continues also to come out as brothers, as Christians, are the reports of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and what they too now may face. Reports of phones being searched for Bible apps, anonymous calls being made, the voice on the other end saying, "We're coming for you." Danger to their body is real. And so our text points us to this struggle that God's people still have each and every day. But it also points us to where the true battle and true struggle lies. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm. We pray for all that is going on in Afghanistan. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We especially pray that they would know the strength and joy of this text, that they would be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. See, the battle and the struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the enemies we can see with our eyes. Oh, they can all be used by the enemy, sure, but the battle is not there. The enemy isn't after our temporal flesh and blood. No, he's after our souls. He's after control of our eternal destination. And if the enemy, the devil, the evil one, can use the Taliban or Boko Haram or other organizations like that to get you to deny your faith in Jesus or to stay away from the message of the gospel because you know the threat that there is, he will use it. If he can use this country, peer pressure, social norms, comfortable life, to get you to slide away from Jesus and not take the faith so seriously, he will use that. If he can use your past or your present sin to doubt your worth before God or to doubt that God can love even you still, or on the other hand, if he can get you to think that you're worth something to God because of your own deeds, your own intentions, or just because of who you are, he'll use that too. The devil will use anything and everything. Things we think are good or bad, right or wrong, divine or devilish, he'll use them all in a spiritual skirmish to lure you away to Christ. He is, after all, the father of lies and can lie about just about anything. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We ignore the devil and the daily spiritual battle in our lives at our peril. We also do well to know that we cannot stand on our own. As Martin Luther wrote in the hymn, "Mighty Fortress," with might of ours, cannot be done. Soon were our loss effective. We cannot stand up to the attacks of the evil one on our own strength of body, mind, or soul, or we will fall. The devil and his minions are stronger and craftier than we are on our own. But we need not ascribe too much power, or too much ability, or too much strength to them. And we can also trust that our Lord does not leave us on our own. It is not a spiritually equal battle. No, our Lord and our God is stronger than they and has defeated them. That's the whole point of our text. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It was the armor of God that was given to Troy today. It's the armor of God that's given to you so that you may stand strong and stand firm in the spiritual battle. It's true what the Easter hymn says. Jesus lives, the victory's won. Christ has already won the victory, even though the battle still rages. Even though this is the moment of the rout of the devil and his evil forces, it's the moment he realizes he has lost and he's seeking to snatch and grab and loot and pillage on his way to his eternal destiny. For Christ is won. You stand in Christ's victory for you each and every day as the baptized people of God. You stand in his armor, the armor he has given you, the armor which in fact is Christ himself. We take as God's people the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. For the devil would love to lie to you about anything and everything, but perhaps most especially about God's ability to love you because of something you've done in your past. Jesus, at the belt of truth, shows you God's unconditional love for you at the cross. That too can be forgiven as you come to the cross in repentance and faith. The devil would lie on the other hand about your needing to do this or do that or do the other thing to earn or keep God's favor. Or he'd lie to you and say, oh, all roads lead to eternal life anyway. But Jesus says, no, I am truly the way to God. Finding the truth is in Jesus now and forever. Having put on, stand firm, the breastplate of righteousness. The devil would love to lead us into the ways of unrighteousness. He would love to deceive us into thinking that unrighteousness is righteousness and vice versa. Or again, he would lead you to focus so much on your unrighteous deeds that you despair of God's ability to cleanse you. That, oh, I was baptized once, but God doesn't know what I've done since then. He can't possibly cleanse me of it now. God has put the breastplate of righteousness on you. He has given you the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. He has put Christ on you, Christ who is the righteous one, whose righteous life and righteous death cover over your sins, give you the righteousness of God before him and the world. As shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. You live in a world of division. Politics, families, the workplace, the neighborhood, you name it, we can find two sides to every coin. And the devil would love for us to lead or join factions there, or he would love to have you think that God is still your enemy, that he's still just hovering over you, ready to drop the hammer on you for something you've done. The scriptures declare Jesus brings you peace, and he is your peace. Within the church, he has broken down all the dividing walls of hostility with his body and blood on the cross as we come to him in repentance and true faith, seeking him and his word alone. He unites us as the people of God. Scripture also declares, you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. But the devil will not deceive you that God is your enemy. You have peace with God through Jesus and his death and resurrection for you. He has reconciled you to himself. His death and empty grave. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I don't know what it is exactly in your life, but you likely have something that's causing you doubt, and worry, and fear, and frustration. All these things are real. They themselves do not mean a loss of faith or even that you're in danger of losing the battle. A threat of danger is there, though, if we take the shield of faith and put it elsewhere. If we stand against these worries and fears and doubts and frustrations on our own, or if we find solutions for them in our own mind, or our own ways, or in just finding something to keep our mind off of it. Oh, Christ encourages us, take up the shield of faith in him. The shield, which is depicted here, isn't just a small, round shield. No, it's a strong and sturdy and tall shield that would hide the most of the soldier as he crouched behind it. And very often, if they knew they would be in battle the next day, they would drench and douse and soak it in water overnight. So that they knew, indeed, that then their shields of wood and leather, soaked in water, would, indeed, make the enemy's arrows fizzle out and begin flaming towards them. You, the people of God, are soaked in the the water, Jesus baptized into his name, just as little Troy was this morning. That you have faith in him as your shield. Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Stand firm in the Lord and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation, that thing which will protect your head and your mind, that the devil will love to play with and again get us to think wrongly. He got Adam and Eve to doubt God's word and doubt God's good plan for his creation. And he wants you and me to do the same. He wants to trust our own mind, or our own ways, or the ways of the world around us, the ways of thinking of this world and life, rather than his word alone. And so he gives you the helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ, to govern your mind for life and peace, to trust God and his salvation, to trust that his ways are best. And he leads your mind to rejoice that you are saved by grace, saved by grace alone. Finally, it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God which connects and protects us at all times, which is the final defense against the dark arts of the devil. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Word of Christ, the Word which is Christ and brings Christ to you. It's the best piece of defense when you're tempted to think the battle may still be lost, for it tells you of Christ's victory. It's the best piece of defense when you wonder if there's any hope in this hopeless world, for it tells you the hope that is sure and certain in Christ Jesus, your Lord. It's the word of truth. It's the gospel of your salvation, inspiring faith in Jesus in your heart, mind, and soul. Luther's hymn again says, one little word can fell him. The word of God defeats the father of lies. The word alone wounds the devil. The word alone became flesh and dwelt among us. Once and for all, crush the serpent's head, defeating him in his death on the cross. Take up the armor of God. It is your gift as God's people. Your baptismal gift, the gift given to Croy today, the gift given to all of you, when you too were washed in the water and the word in your holy baptism. Thus you were armed with all you need to withstand against the evil one's assaults, because you received Christ. Christ has already defeated him. And so we continue on with the text, and we join it there, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and we do so for ourselves. We do so for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan and around the world who face hardship and persecution for their faith. We pray that they would have strength to stand, strength to persevere. We also pray the words may be given, here as Paul writes, to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Even as we stand firm in our faith, we call out to others, knowing that they too are caught up in the fray, that they may be trapped and falling to the devil's schemes, that they may not have the armor they need, they may be trusting an armor which is totally insufficient, or trying to stand on their own powers. We invite them and call them receive the armor of God in Christ. We warn them about those dangers, and we give them and show them the strength of the Lord, the power of his might that is ours in Jesus. In his name, amen.